And right now it's time to say good morning to Peter Allam. On this Monday morning, it's time for Legal Eagle. Peter, very good morning.
Yes, good morning to you, Wayne, and to all our listeners out there. Lovely morning, a little bit overcast again, but we've had a good weekend, so we can't complain. Our topic this morning indeed is substance abuse, as you mentioned, in the workplace. We'll concentrate on the workplace today. You know, the position is quite clear, is that it's not only the abuse of alcohol and drugs in the workplace that leads to, in fact, the parties that are participating in that abusing their fellow employees and the employer. It's a very serious topic, and it has a serious impact on people in the workplace. So if we start, we can deal with alcohol. One says, but how do you know somebody's intoxicated? Well, you know, the signs are clear. One, alcohol can always be smelt on a person. So that's a starting point, is that the smell of alcohol is there. You also usually find that the person hasn't washed and dressed correctly, hair untidy, the appearance is not good. You'll find people that have been drinking, they'll shield their mouth with a hand when they're speaking to you or look away from you, turns his face away because he knows that he's been drinking and he doesn't want to let you smell the alcohol on him.
Right.
They get aggressive, which is one of the sad things. They confrontational, their behavior changes. And then, of course, the normal old ones, the employees unsteady on his feet, slurred speech, bloodshot eyes, those are all symptoms of alcohol problems. Alcohol is one. Of course, you get to the other side, which is the drug problem. You know, what are the signs of drugs? You'll pick up on a person frequent absenteeism, sick leave use without producing a medical certificate because they're not up to it. Particularly on a Friday or Monday, they say, the person becomes sick or not available for work. Frequent excuses for not attending work for extended periods because they're just not in that mood. They're late for work, requests for advances on salary or wages to purchase drugs, constant signs of alcoholism as well shows, because it's mainly when the people do alcohol that they do the drugs at the same time.
Right.
So those are the sort of signs that you get about it. But let's go back and say, what is the position? Do I as an employer have the right to investigate a employer that comes to work and I suspect that something is wrong? So, yes, the answer there is very definitely yes. Employers must make it clear. It's important for all those listening today and people to know that you must have a zero-tolerance alcohol and drug policy, which must be clear and reflects, the employer's position. So you must make it known in the contract of employment or up on the wall in the business or factory, no alcohol or drugs will be tolerated. It should be there that it's clear that you know that that is what the position is. The Occupational Health and Safety Act also makes an allowance for it. I'm not sure what the section is, but in the Act, it states that any employer shall not permit any person who is or appears to be under the influence of liquor or drugs, for that matter, to enter or to remain at a workplace. So you have a right to ban them in terms of the Act. The section is quite clear in that regard. And likewise, the Act says that as an employee, you shall not be under the influence or have in your possession or partake any liquor or drugs at work. The Act itself protects us in that regard. The obligation to ensure that you are not under the influence, and that is due to the fact that intoxicated employees hinder the safety aspect of the work situation, especially in factories. And that if you've got somebody that's intoxicated or drugged, I mean, what can go wrong working with machines and electricity and that type of thing can be a serious or potential cause to huge damage and reputational damage as well. I mean, imagine somebody comes to see me at my office and my front lady's under the influence, doesn't pose a pretty picture. And of course, they're going to say, oh, that lady there, something wrong with her. Mm-hmm. So, you need to be hands-on and to watch it. So zero tolerance means zero tolerance. And that policy must be in place. A lot of people ignore it. A lot of people don't think about it. Yes, you get the kind people that try to help and assist people that have a problem. But make sure that you've got them out of the way. Make sure that you're not protecting them to the extent that they then feel that they can do their alcohol or drugs because you've got a sympathetic employee or employees. You know, the sad thing as well is that employees also protect each other and hide people that are under the influence and that, I've had situations here where people have come and said, geez, we didn't know it, but so-and-so's had a drug problem or an alcohol problem and the staff have been letting them sleep underneath the counter and that type of thing during the day or sending them out on false deliveries and things like that. So don't protect people. And if you're an employee, help, but don't help to the extent that the person becomes overconfident and thinks that they can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
What are the rules that you may put in place? They're quite simple. You put a prohibition on the possession of alcohol or drugs in the workplace. You prohibit a person from coming to work under the influence or drugs. That you don't have to have a worker with an impaired performance rate because of that. The bloodstream, you can... The question everybody asks is, can I do a breathalyzer test? Yes, of course you can do a breathalyzer test, but it must be part and parcel of your employment contract or your rules of employment at the place where the work is taking place. So a zero tolerance policy allows for tests and that in it as well. And the measures that you take is quite simple. Make a breathalyzer available and see if they're within the legal limit. It's the same as driving under the influence limit that they say prevails. You can also restrict, when I say restrict, let's go back to this situation. A lot of firms allow for drinks after work or drinks with clients or taking people out. So, it works both ways. You can't have a policy that says zero tolerance. And then at 5 o'clock, you open a beer for everybody and say, have one or two beers.
Yes, yes.
So you've got to be very careful. It works both ways. There's an obligation on both the employer and the employee. So make sure that, if you're going to allow people to have a drink afterwards or when they achieve something that you celebrate, that you have a limit on that. Don't allow people to get completely out of their mind and drink excessively at your workplace and then expect that when they come in that type of situation at a later stage that it's not acceptable. Mm. Also, make sure, as an employee, I always say, if you're going to allow people to drink, make sure they're capable of driving. Make sure that you provide a taxi or Uber or something like that, arrange transport for them if you're going to allow them to drink. So, alcohol is a terrible thing. Some people are addicted to it, some people aren't. So you get the casual drinkers that you must look after and you get the hard drinkers that you also need to look after and have strict rules in place for it. Drugs, a problem that's arisen, also it needs to really be addressed. The tests for alcohol and drugs are in fact like the old drunken driving days when the policeman stopped you. You've got those old tests are still available and still very, very good. Standing on one leg.
Okay.
To name a few, standing on one leg, walk and turn, heel to toe in a straight line. That depends on how they do it. There's that feet together, head back, eyes closed for 30 seconds. I think that thing used to be called the Romberg test or something like that. The finger to nose, come quickly with your pointing finger onto the tip of your nose. Eyes closed, when you do that and see what happens, you know, do they hit the middle of the face or do they hit the nose? Touch each finger and count used to be the old one that the cops used to do. They used to say, put your one hand out and then touch it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Or the worst one is when they used to say to you, okay, take a number such as 30 or 40, count backwards for me. Come back 29, 28, 27. You know, so you stumble when you've had too much to drink or a bit of drugs in you with that type of thing. So those are all sobriety tests and drug tests that you can do that are still allowed. You know, you are permitted. It can be carried out, the breathalyzer test, but the consent of the employer must be in writing. So I suggest that you all look at your contracts of employment to say that the zero tolerance of alcohol and drugs forms part of the work conditions upfront. So when you employ somebody or you sign a contract with them, they make sure that they're aware of that.
Right.
Very important. And it must apply to everybody. You can't have certain people who don't, you know, fit into that category, unfortunately.
Yeah. So if it's part of the company policy, it's for everybody that works in that company from the bottom right through to the top.
Absolutely. And would include the employer as well. You know, you must lead by example. You can't be the one that comes to work every second day smelling of alcohol and then expect your workers to abide by the rules in that regard.
Yes.
So, you know, you need to really watch it. You know, you also get people, unfortunately, who show these symptoms who are on medical treatment. So be careful in that regard. If you've got an understanding and a working relationship with your employees, you will be able to say to them, please advise. If you're on medication, tell us. Don't come here, you know, looking high or something like that. And then we blame it on alcohol or drugs. Meantime, you going through a period of medication that's necessary and that type of thing.
Okay.
So from an employee point of view as well, don't hide medication. Don't hide an illness. If you've picked up a problem, do the noble thing. Openness and honesty is always the best policy. So go to your boss, go to the business and say, look, I've got this problem at the moment. I've been put onto drugs. They have a side effect on me. I want you to know. You know, that's as me as an employer, that's if somebody came to me, I would know how to deal with it. The sympathy would be there and I would sort it. And I'm pretty sure that most people fit into that same category. You know, you also get situations where people need financial help. There's no burden on the employee. So if you've got somebody that's abusing drugs or something and needs rehabilitation, there's not a duty on the employer to assist in that regard. So, you know, just be cautious and manage it correctly. Your policy must be correct. Of course, the other one is the one that you mentioned, which is now common, cannabis, dacha, as it's called, you know, with it becoming, I always say, sort of legal. You know, what is the position? You know, people now cheeky. I had one the other day told me I can smoke dacha, it's legal at work. I mean, it depends on what the policy is.
Yeah.
If the work policy is no, because it offends other people, then it's a no-no. It's not a case of because it's legal, I can do it. I mean, if you have a work situation where somebody comes and says, look, I'm anti-drugs, that's my belief, and I'm not happy with somebody smoking dacha at work, then you know, the best thing, well, in fact, to me, the best policy is a no dacha usage at the workplace. Oh. That, to me, is what all employees should be doing. But then you get employers themselves who utilize it, so it becomes very dangerous. But the employer should regulate this issue within its disciplinary code and policy that they put in place. So, for example, I know that most businesses ban the use, possession, smoking, cultivation of dacha at the workplace. You know, it must be a clear policy that's written. So, you know, it must also say that such an employee may also be subject to criminal charges if necessary. You can go that far as an employer to say that if you're going to grow it on my property at the workplace, if you're going to smoke it, use it, I can charge you criminally an abuse of dacha. It is still possible to do that. It's not a case of, oh, it's legal now, and that's
you've
it.
You've got carte blanche.
So, you know, you look at it again, the basis of the provision is that there are non-consenting employees wherever you go. You know, the use of cannabis whilst at work will have an impact on the conduct and the capacity of the employee as well. There's no doubt that it may not be a very serious drug in the eyes of a lot of people, but it does affect people. People go to see, they slow down with their work. You know, those that operate machinery, drive vehicles, or are in a situation where they're manufacturing something, put themselves at risk. And, of course, the most important thing that people don't realize with cannabis is that although it's been made legal to a certain extent, it is still banned in public. So if you start smoking it at work, you're not in your private area. You're in a public area.
Okay.
So it's the same as people going to a pub or something like that, a smoking bar. You cannot, you know, abuse it and light up in public. It's for own use, and you can grow for yourself. That's what you can do. So you've got to be careful there as well in that regard.
Okay. So there are, while it has been... Yeah,
sorry, Wayne.
Okay. So Peter, while it
has been granted,
it still has terms and conditions attached.
Absolutely. And you know, the point is, like I said, what are the symptoms? You know, cannabis has clear symptoms: dizziness, drowsiness, feeling faint, lightheaded. It impairs your memory. There's no doubt about that. Don't tell me that you can smoke it and it doesn't impair your memory, your concentration, your ability to think and make decisions. Those are all serious impacts. Like alcohol, dacha as well, impairs your motor skills and your distance perceptions and things like that. So it's the exact same. You know, people say, we've done the tests. I mean, how many times don't you see people, I mean, on carte blanche, at one stage they did those tests where they had a whole lot of people who were drinking and driving on a racetrack to show what the impact is. And it was clear that, you know, alcohol impaired your vision, impaired your reflection and things like that. So it's there. And dacha is the exact same. You know, it causes anxiety. Some people can't work unless they've had their cannabis, they say. You know, that's nonsense. You know, it's not to be taken to the workplace. Yeah. I'm going to say, you know, let you have a chance.
Sorry, we've got a little bit of a delay on the line again this morning. But, Peter, just a thought or a question. You know, with the advent of the changes of the laws regarding dacha, have there been sort of more cases of how can I put it, where in the past you had maybe disciplinary cases around alcohol and dacha? Has the way that you need to change things changed now that it's legal? Because the usage, you know, a guy might say, but I was using it last night. He probably would need to manage his amount of usage so that he's still not on a high the next morning when he comes to work. Like alcohol.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Alcohol and dacha, both legally allowed, like you say. Both need to make sure, I mean, with both of them, you need to make sure that you limit your usage and that it doesn't affect you the next day. If it has an impact on your work, you got a chance of losing your job. You know, you can be disciplined. And there's no discretion with the employer to say, oh, that employee is in a high-level job, or that employee works in the factory or machine, so he can't do it, but the old sweeper can do it, and that type of thing.
Right.
You know, it's there. It's one rule for all and everybody. You can't start making different classes. Interesting enough as well is that the Poppy Act does fit into it. Don't forget the good old Protection of Personal Information Act comes in on alcohol and drug policies. So you need to make sure, you know, that medical information as well is not there for everybody. So make sure that your policy at work covers all of those aspects. You need to make sure that it's the consent is mandatory when you employ somebody, that they give it to you up front, and then, you know, you cannot use it to disclose to the public or to, let's say that somebody terminates his employment and wants to go somewhere else. You cannot disclose that,
right,
you know, unnecessarily. So you must be careful in that regard as well. But yeah, that's basically substance abuse in the workplace, a serious topic, like I said in the beginning, and one that needs specific attention. So if you're listening today and you don't have a policy in place, make sure that you call everybody together, discuss it, and sort that problem out. Very important.
And in this particular case, I'm just listening to all the points that you've brought up, Peter. This would be one of those cases where it would very definitely need professional assistance when it comes to writing policies. Maybe an attorney like yourself, or a labor person, somebody qualified in labor law. Would that be the correct route to go for a company, big or small, to just make sure that they covered in the eventuality of a drug or alcohol-related problem popping up in the workplace?
Absolutely. You know, you need to know what you can and can't do. So your advice to people out there is indeed correct. You know, don't just make a policy or do a policy and then let a labor consultant or an attorney double-check it for you to make sure that what you have provided is correct. You don't want to find yourself making rules that are illegal or not acceptable. So, you know, it is there. You also don't want there to be a loophole in the policy that you put out that allows people to do things that they do because it's not covered correctly. So the correct thing, go see an attorney, see a labor consultant. They normally are good in that regard as well. And they'll help you put a proper policy in place on drugs and alcohol.
And then to make sure that you've got those in place, then you know that you're pretty safe in the hopefully unlikely event that it won't take place, but there's a pretty good chance that sooner or later something will crop up in the workplace.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, never say never.
Make sure you're protected. Peter, if somebody wants to reach you for in connection with this and many other topics that you cover as an attorney, how do they reach Alums?
They can like us on Facebook. We're on Facebook under Alums. We just add a S to our surname, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar. Or they can contact us at 6 Sansom Road, Vincent, the little side street where Pep Stores is. Telephone number 043-7211018. All is available to help. No problem at all.
Great. So, Peter, thank you very, very much for the chat. And, of course, this will be on our website later today as well as a podcast and on your channels as well.
Absolutely. Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, Peter. Take care. Have a great week. Ciao. That's Peter Allam with today's edition of Legal Eagle. Alcohol and drug abuse in the workplace, a big topic and one that you need to be very, very careful of as far as policies are concerned.